Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. We're looking forward to a great dialogue and discussion with you today. As we study the Word of God, we pray that you're doing so, looking for truth, because the Scripture is very, very clear. When the Lord Jesus Christ himself spoke to his disciples, he said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8:31-32. And then Jesus said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." And so, ladies and gentlemen, as we search for the answers in life, may I suggest that we go to the book of all books, as it used to be sung in Sunday school a number of years ago, the B-I-B-L-E. I pray that you will search the Scripture and know the Word of God. The Bible teaches us a great deal today in relationship to truth. The Bible gives us the information and the insight and the illumination for our pathway as we serve the Lord. Before we get into the dialogue and discussion with our monologue today, let me first of all invite you to worship with us at First Conservative Baptist Church this Sunday at 9:30 a.m. is the Bible study, Sunday school hour. At 10:45 a.m. and at 7 p.m., the worship services. Be delighted to have you. We're located exactly 1 mile south of I-295, right here in the very heart of Mandarin. First Conservative Baptist Church, conservative in theology, doctrinally sound, wonderful God-honoring music, and verse-by-verse exegetical expositor preaching from the pulpit. We'd love to have you. We've met you on there. We'd love to meet you in person. Love to have you in one of our worship services. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be asking a question today. As you know, we are involved with and have been since 1982, Conservative Theological University. And so we're going to ask the question, who is Conservative Theological University? Who are we? What are we about? And we're going to be talking about the theological doctrinal programs that we have. But first of all, let me just introduce the thought today by telling you the Bible that teaches us that we should study the Word, know the Word, and teach the Word to others. And what we learn in the Scripture, we have the responsibility of communicating with others. The Apostle Paul, speaking to young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit," that means to entrust, to deposit, to communicate, "those with to faithful," that is trustworthy, "men who should be able to teach others also." So the idea in the Scripture is to learn the Word, study the Word, and communicate the Word with others, that others might communicate it to others, that others might know the Word of God. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the serious challenge today is that every believer, especially those that are in leadership roles, pastors, associate pastors, Christian educators, Christian counselors, Sunday school teachers, deacons, and I could go on infinitum. If you're involved in a ministry of any kind, you have the responsibility to share the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, with others. And you also have the ultimate responsibility of doing so, of knowing the Word of God, that you might communicate what you know from the Scripture to others, that they can communicate it with others. Question must be asked then, ladies and gentlemen, do you know the Word? Do you know the Bible? Are you teaching solid biblical truth to others? Perhaps you're listening today, and you're a pastor, and you have some credit someplace in some institution, some college or university. That credit is absolutely transferable if it's from a quality, like-minded institution. So we'd be delighted to talk with you about that. But ladies and gentlemen, some 50 years ago, America had multitudes of Bible colleges, seminaries, where only the Bible was taught. Today, most of these institutions have either closed the doors or they morphed into liberal arts schools with a department of religion. Ladies and gentlemen, generally these departments of religion are teaching watered down, partial biblical theological truths. This is because they fear offending some denomination or offending somebody, and therefore the Bible becomes fluid rather than absolutely fixed in what the Bible teaches. You see, there's a mindset today, ladies and gentlemen, that says that the Bible is fluid, the Bible is should be evolving with society, and so as a result of that, many of these departments of religion are not teaching absolute theological soundness. We need to understand that there's a very simple reason. Why is this so? Simply because of federal funds. Ladies and gentlemen, any institution, Department of Religion, liberal arts school, where the student that is enrolled can make application to get federal funds, the federal government holds the strings, controls what that institution can teach, and these liberal arts schools today are totally dependent upon federal dollars for their students' tuition. This does two things, ladies and gentlemen. Listen very carefully. We're talking about conservative theological university and the rationale behind conservative doctrinal truth as it is transmitted to others. If these institutions are taking federal funds, it does two things. It vastly increases the cost of tuition for the degree program. Most institutions today, if you go in for an Associate of Arts, a Bachelor of Arts, you're looking at between $25,000 and $45,000 just for an undergraduate degree, and much more than that if it's a graduate or postgraduate degree. And secondly, it restricts the institution with federal controls and requirements that causes a watered-down biblical truth, if you could call it truth at all. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is why Conservative Theological University has been in existence since 1982. We've had the privilege of training hundreds upon hundreds and thousands of men and women that are in ministry around the globe. And we're delighted that never have accepted federal funds. CTU, Conservative Theological University, is not restricted in our biblical teaching because we have no federal strings attached. Students are able to freely and fully study and know the Word of God. And this is the reason, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking with a pastor today that we're delighted to have with us and joining with us in this dialogue and discussion on Let's Face the Issues. It's Dr. Ricardo Watson. Dr. Watson is a CTU PhD graduate. He's the pastor of a church in Northern Virginia. He's a dear personal friend and fellow laborer in God's work in spreading the Word of God. Dr. Watson, welcome to the microphone today as we discuss Conservative Theological University and what we do in Jacksonville and around the world with training men and women for serving the Lord. Is Dr. Watson present?
Hello?
Dr. Watson, thank you for joining us today.
Can you hear me now?
We can hear you. You're delayed, a little delayed, but go ahead.
God bless you, Dr. Yangula. Thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to be on this broadcast with you. It's a great honor to sit and to be a part of what God's doing through CTU. And bring greetings from our church here in Sterling, Virginia, and all the wonderful things that God is doing in the local church right here at the front door of Washington, D.C. God bless you, sir.
Amen. God bless you and thank you. Dr. Watson, take a minute. Let our listeners know a little about you, your background, your family, what God is doing in your life. And I'm delighted because, ladies and gentlemen, I had the privilege of preaching in Dr. Watson's church back about 8 or 9 months ago. Wonderful, wonderful congregation, a group of people that love the Lord, seeking to know the Word and study the Word. And Dr. Watson is preaching the Word of God for them. Dr. Watson, share with our listeners something about yourself and your passion for ministry, just a little bit of a biographical sketch, if you will, so they our listeners can get an understanding of who you are and what we're talking about.
Well, firstly, I come from South Africa, and I was trained basically in a Pentecostal charismatic background theologically. I attended Rhema Bible College in South Africa, but there came a point in my life in ministry that I began to desire the Word of God, and I wasn't being fed, and that's no insult to anybody, but I just desired strong meat. And I began to search, for institutions where I could study. And basically, it was the same thing that we were getting where we were at. And after much prayer, God led me, by His sovereign hand, to you on the internet, because I was searching for strong family values. and I wanted a genuine biblical foundation, strong biblical foundation, and with a conservative background. And I found you, and I came to you in Jacksonville, and my family and I made the decision to relocate to the United States of America for further training and development. I sat under you for, I think it was 5 years, almost 5 years of coming to class, sitting in the class daily, taking notes. And you were able to take my previous academic work in South Africa, and obviously we had it transferred over to CTU. And then my journey began. My journey at CTU, unlike other institutions I attended, was totally based on the scripture. And we would sit for hours, I think something up to 3 hours daily in the lectures and just deal with God's word. It opened my mind out to God's word. It opened my mind out to the deceptions that were operating within the church. And that strengthened my foundation in God's word. As you know from what I've learned from you, in our church, we make a bold statement and a declaration on every meeting that we are central biblicists. And this has helped secure the foundation of the people in our church. So much is going on right now on social media and broadcast media, as you said earlier in your little monologue there, that has diluted the word of God. The word of God, the truth of God's word is not preached in the church anymore. People are given life coaches. There's no longer authentic spiritual ministry from God's word given across the local church. We have life coaches, we have motivational speakers, but no one's preaching the gospel. And that's what I learned in CTU. I learned to preach the gospel. I learned to defend the gospel against the ludicrous claims of liberal theology, atheists, agnostics. I was given a good education of how to defend the truth from God's word, and to ultimately depend on God's word as the final authority for all matters of life, of government. Something I need to interject here. In CTU, coming in as a South African and immigrating into this country, I learned rich value. I got rich understanding of the political system in this country, how it operates, my role as a minister of how to defend the gospel against, you know, political wickedness and all of the other agendas that people are trying to enforce upon the body of Christ. It was your teaching, your wisdom, and your understanding, and obviously the other lecturers that you have on board with you, with the staff, that taught us how to stand up and to be politically sound, even in leading our families and the members in our church. So that is so far where, you know, where we are at and what we have achieved together as a church here in Sterling, Virginia. I just want to say this, Dr. Youngblood, before I hand back to you. The church is growing. Families are coming to the church. After we had you and your wife over for the marriage conference, the marriages are strengthened. People are hungry for God's word. And that's what I appreciate about coming to CTU. It's getting a full, comprehensive education in God's word.
Amen. Well, I am thankful for those words, very kind words of encouragement. Tell our listeners something about your family. You've got a beautiful wife, and you've got, what is it? It's four sons and daughters, and I am always so delighted when I see Christian families with Christian sons and daughters, and you have named them biblical names. And I just want our listeners to hear that, because it's always such a blessing to me to see them, talk with them, and see the love of God in their hearts and their eyes and their lives, and how they are so obedient and following the leadership of mom and dad. Just share with our listeners something about your family.
Dr. Youngblood, my wife's name, my bride, is Kelly Lee Joy. She also comes from South Africa. We have four children. My eldest son is Melchizedek, after the king in the book of Genesis that met with Abraham, Melchizedek, the king of righteousness and peace. My eldest daughter is Charisma. She's a little younger than Melchizedek. Her name's Charisma Zoe Faith, and it is based on the biblical teaching of the grace of God's gift and favor on our life. Then my second son, Mordecai Judah, his name comes obviously from the book of Esther, where Mordecai stood up to defend God's people. His name is Mordecai Judah. And then our baby, the little one, the little girl, her name, she was born in Jacksonville, Florida. Her name's Hadassah Joy Hannah Watson. Obviously, Hadassah was Esther. Hadassah was the Hebrew name. and her second name, Hannah, obviously being Samuel's mother. Samuel, who presented to God a prophet for the nation. I gave my children biblical names because I believe in God's word. I believe as a father, if I lay a foundation in God's word in their life by teaching them the scriptures, I might not be able to have a whole lot of worldly things to hand over to them, but I know if I give them a solid foundation in God's word, my children will become pillars in society, and they would become beacons of light and leaders going forward concerning God's word. We spend a lot of time investing in God's word in them. We're presently homeschooling the four of them after we met you earlier this year, and we discussed the homeschooling option, and we've decided to put all of them in homeschooling because we are genuinely interested in the education of our children, and we want their minds to be formed and framed after the word of God. And so God has blessed us with a wonderful family, Dr. Youngblood. Coming into your family and coming under your leadership has helped me as a husband, as a father to my children, to emulate godly leadership and to build that structure in my family like we learned at college, and obviously to the impartation of your ministry at the local church. We have also designed our family and patterned our family after the word of God.
Amen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, you're listening to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. We're interviewing Dr. Ricardo Watson. Dr. Watson is a recent graduate from Conservative Theological University, pastoring up in Sterling, Virginia, and we're delighted to have him on the air with us today. And let me remind you, our listeners, if you want to ask questions about Conservative Theological University or ask questions from a graduate student from the university, you can do so by dialing 401-1413, 904-401-1413, gets you right through to the studio and directly to our microphones that we can have this dialogue and discussion together. Dr. Watson, if you would be kind enough for our listeners' benefit, some of them are not aware of Conservative Theological University. Some may be hearing this information for the very first time. Tell them, if you will, three important things about the university that impressed you and that was the most beneficial to you for your life in ministry.
Well, firstly, it's biblically based. Everything is based on the scriptures. There's no opinions. I listened to what you said earlier in your monologue, where the word of God is being watered down into institutions that are funded by the government. Well, when you step into CTU, you're going to learn that nothing's watered down, that God's word is absolute. It has final authority. The opinion of the lecturer is not above scripture. And that's what you learn to appreciate, that the lecturers are humble. They submit themselves to God's word. So one of the things I enjoyed about sitting in CTU was that we were not discussing opinions. What was discussed was God's word. We were given the right boundaries to interpret it. We were given accurate measures of how to understand God's word within its contextual framework. And that's what I started to appreciate. In CTU, we were taught how to teach the scriptures, obviously in an expository style. In other words, you just don't pull out, what is it, themes and subjects and drop it onto your audience, you know, wherever you're preaching. In CTU, we were taught to stay within the context, to teach within the unit of thought, so that the entire congregation grows into understanding holistically of God's word. That's the first thing I really respected about CTU. Time was invested in teaching God's word. The second thing I appreciated about CTU was the intimate classroom environment. In other words, it wasn't some big, you know, open lecture style where you had no connection with the lecturer or the inability to engage the process while being trained. At CTU, you got to get into the dialogue and engage yourself in the teaching. So the lecturers were always available to us. We could question them. We could ask questions. The lecturers produced the answers we needed, and that helped establish a strong relationship. Because what that did was it engaged us as students in the class. Something else I really appreciated while being at CTU was we had to take down our notes by hand. There was no digital devices to confuse us or to distract us. It was literally your Bible and your notebook and the textbook. And we had to take down notes. And that so helped my discipline of taking copious notes in the class. It really helped me to grow in my understanding. I have all of my notebooks from the very first lecture I sat in your class right until the last lecture I've taken at school. I have every single notebook. I have it filed here in my office at home. I have it all kept aside. I page through those notes. I go through the information. Because a lot of the lecturers that have lectured us at CTU were ministers of the gospel that had churches, that had pastored churches. So they also helped from a pastoral perspective. The lectures were centered around not just some ministerial thought that exists out there for academic reasons, but we were able to merge the academic information that we were getting and implement it in the local church. It helped us build the church, even here in Sterling, Virginia, helped us to build a stronger ministry. And that's what I respected as pertaining to what I learned at CTU. The final thing I want to mention about CTU is the aspect of the grading. If when CTU grades you and when they give you a grade, and when they when you graduate eventually from whatever degree you're doing, you know you qualified for that degree. They have prepared you in a subtle way. I mean, I've come up against people every single day, try to challenge certain theological views and all of that. And sometimes we have doctrinal differences, and I'm not willing, you know, to become, you know, so hardened about a different view. But the wonderful thing about CTU was the training was so robust that when you graduated with that degree, you could defend your position. You could explain to your children. You could explain to your wife. You could explain to your congregation members. And I want to tell you this, Dr. Youngblood, one of the reasons why we have so many influential people in our church here in Sterling, Virginia, many of them work for the CIA, the FBI, highly intellectual individuals that are working for the government here in Washington, D.C., that are now joining our church and participating of our ministry because of the robust theological background
and Amen.
Biblical preaching that we have Amen. From our pulpit every Sunday.
That's what it should be. Dr. Watson, take Amen. Just a moment and speak to a listener. Let's just assume that we've got listeners out there, some of whom are in the pulpit. Some are pastors, preachers, associate pastors, Christian educators, Christian counselors. Perhaps some of them have some training in some college someplace. Perhaps they have secular credentials that qualify them to be able to stand and communicate. What would you say to that person that is listening, that's wondering whether or not they should enter into conservative theological university? Perhaps first and foremost, they're saying, well, why should I get a further education? Why should I get an earned degree? Why should I worry about the hurt and the time and the even the cost of getting the theological training? Speak to that person. And the reason I say that, I've met many people, talked with many people. They say, well, God's called me to preach, and I don't need to have any theological training. I just pick the Bible up. I love Jesus, and I can preach the Word. What's wrong with that picture, and why should that be a misnomer? Why should they do different?
Well, when God wanted to communicate to us, He communicated us through His Word. And the prophets were intellectual people. They could communicate thought. They could communicate ideas. They were able to take from the divine presence of God by reason of Him speaking to the prophets and communicate it to us via text, via writing. They put it within context. They wrote the very instructions of God, the commands of God, the principles of God, the protocols of God's government order structure. They communicated this to us through writing. The Bible says, you know, the Apostle Paul said to young Timothy, he said, study to show yourself approved. He said, give yourself to reading. These are all hints in the scripture. You know, I was studying when we were doing the book of John back at college. We were doing an overview of the book of John. And one of the textbooks that I read there, it says, in the beginning was the Word. That word comes from the Greek word logos. And then the author of that book, I can't remember it now, but he said the word logos, when you do a thorough study in the Greek, is the word logic. And further to that, it's the word intelligence. And when you do a study of logic with God, it's infinite intelligence. So in other words, a deep study of the word of God engages the intellect. It opens the understanding to the wealth and the depth and the knowledge of God, His character, His person, His nature. And so I want to encourage every leader. We are dealing with a generation that is intellectually advanced. They demand answers. Social media has opened up the world to where people have a platform to question. And therefore, if we are not equipped or skilled or trained I mean, there's training in the dentistry field. There's training even with your hairdresser. Your hairdresser goes for training. You're not going to put your genius in the hand of a novice. You're not going to put what is great in the hand of somebody that is not trained. And one way to beat this entire wave of what we call intellectualism and all of that that's coming up against religious institutions is that for God's leaders to be trained, God's leaders should be equipped. And therefore, I encourage every pastor, I would not even dare teaching or preaching here in the Washington, D.C. access without a sound biblical education. It is an insult to the presence of God. And then I want to say something else, this whole thing about accreditation and all of that. I don't know if I told you this, Dr. Youngblood, but I wanted to do some further work, theological work, and I submitted my transcripts. And Southern California Seminary, powerful institution, one of the top 50 colleges in the world, Christian institutions in the world, rated one of the finest in the world under Dr. David Jeremiah, immediately accepted your credits.
Absolutely. Well, we are recognized globally, and we have students that are serving God globally, and I am thankful for that because I don't know of any institution that has refused to accept the qualified student coming from Conservative Theological University with transcripts to show that he knows the Word of God.
Yes, sir. So they accepted my credits, and so the work that you're doing in CTU is respected by accredited universities all across, not just in the East Coast, but also on the West Coast. And as I said, these guys are rated the top 50 in the world. And so that really encouraged me because, you know, seeing that and being accepted at the level that they accepted me is a clear indication that the training that we had is respected, is deeply respected amongst other theologians and people that have understanding and sound knowledge of the Word of God. Any leader that would choose to lead must make an investment in their life when it comes to the Word of God. And it's not just picking up a Bible and saying, well, I'm going to preach because God called me. It took the Apostle Paul 14 years of training, 14 years of schooling, 14 years of equipping himself in understanding the great call that God had placed on his life on the Damascus Road before Paul went out and engineered his own ministerial endeavors. It took him 14 years of preparation. It took Jesus 3.5 years, to sit down, to equip, to train, to establish, and to affirm the call of God and the gift of God in the apostle. All of this is instructional. Moses was a man that mentored Joshua personally. Paul took Timothy under his wing and instructed him. Paul was an intellectual. Paul was a man that was trained at the feet of Gamaliel. Paul mentioned his training. And these are things that we must look at in the scripture and begin to value again to say that we need mentorship. We need sound theological education. And that's what I encourage leaders to do. Get a hold of what's going on in CTU. Find out what they are teaching. Get yourself immersed in sound biblical teaching, in deep theological foundations that has biblical truth so that you can stand the test of time and the storms of life, especially when the enemy comes out against you.
Absolutely. Dr. Watson, we've got about a minute left. Let me just wrap up with two or three thoughts. On one occasion, we had a student that came in, and he said after the first semester, he said, boy, was I challenged. He said, when I enrolled, I thought it'd be sitting in a Sunday school class, just having prayer and a little Bible study, and everybody go home. He said, boy, did that surprise me. In fact, you're familiar with the name Dr. Edwards, because Dr. Edwards always rejoices in his training here at Conservative Theological University. Dr. Watson, if we were to say, using some kind of thematic thoughts about the university, that we're theologically sound, doctrinally conservative, realistically practical, and financially affordable, would you speak to that general overview as a final moment or two to our listening audience, and then we can give them a phone number that they can call to schedule an interview appointment for the enrollment for this fall's class. Fall semester starts September the 4th, and we'd be delighted to have our listeners call, and if they're Sunday school teachers, deacons, their pastor, or they have sensed a call of God to go into the ministry, they need to be trained. And when we talk about theologically sound and doctrinally conservative, realistically practical, and financially affordable, just summarize that for us for a moment as we close this broadcast today.
Dr. Youngblood, everything, and to the audience that's listening, everything that you hear at CTU is going to affect the quality of your life. and practically impact every area of your life, because the teachings there affect your quality of life and the life of those around you. Secondly, financially, if it was not for CTU, I would have not graduated with a PhD degree. The very fact that they don't have exorbitant costs made it affordable for me as a South African coming into the United States with the rand-dollar exchange, and it was 10 to 1, and I was still able to afford the fees at CTU. And so, therefore, they make it not only practical to implement in every area of life the teaching, but it's affordable. Affordable in that students can afford it. When you break down the courses, there's a payment plan. If you take on the payment plan, you can make it through. If you start with one course at a time, you'll make it through. You'll get that degree. You'll get that doctorate. It's affordable. When it comes to being biblically sound, doctrine, I believe, is going to become the number one deciding factor in the years to come going forward. We need sound doctrine. And CTU spends time laboring in doctrine. Every student that leaves CTU understands the basic doctrines of the Bible. They can defend it. And they have a rich understanding of how doctrinal value works within the local church and obviously the society that we call in. So I really want to encourage everybody listening, if you want a good theological education that you can afford, that will give you a sound doctrinal foundation and something that's practical that you can use in everyday life, that CTU should become your choice of education and take your destiny to where God wants it to be.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us today. Dr. Watson, thank you for joining us on this broadcast. Thank you for your compliments, words of encouragement to our listeners. And to our listeners, let me remind you, you can call 1-800-GO-BIBLE, 1-800-GO-BIBLE, to communicate with Conservative Theological University. Thank you so much for joining us on the air today. Looking forward to meeting you again, once again, on the air as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.